Our reading is from John's Gospel, and if you've just joined us today, that's page 1087, chapter 19, and we will be starting at verse 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. Where does your allegiance lie? I think for all of us, that's quite a big question. And of course, the answer depends on the context the question is being asked into. So, will you be voting left or right, vis-a-vis Labour or Conservative? Are you supporting the home or away team when you go to the football? Are you against the monarchy, or are you a royalist? Now, it is quite easy to say aside, isn't it? But what is it that really reveals our allegiance and where our heart really, truly is at? Well, surely it is how we think, what we say, what we do. So the staunch Tory is vocal in debates and conversations with the opposition. The Spurs fan knows and sings the songs from the terraces and proudly wears the colours. And the royalist camps out overnight on the Mall to get a glimpse the next day as the new king is paraded at the coronation as they wave the Union Jack. So surely our words and actions reveal our allegiance. Well, as we continue to look at the events and hear the words said around the cross of Christ, our hearts will be challenged and perhaps our own allegiances will be tested as we witness the betrayal of the King, the Chosen One, the Messiah, by those who claimed to be loyal to the God who sent him. But we will wonder afresh at the love of our Saviour. So our reading joins the narrative towards the end of the trial of Jesus. And the gospel writer John now zooms in on the final act of weakness from Pilate and the final betrayal of the Jewish leaders. In his interactions with Jesus, it's been very clear that Pilate is weak. He's been back and forth like a yo-yo, questioning Jesus and then speaking to the chief priests and back again. He just cannot make a decision. But one thing is clear. He knows Jesus is innocent. As several times we read that Pilate finds no basis for the charges brought against him, or at least Jesus has done nothing to warrant death, as neither the charge of inciting the people to rebel nor the additional charge of blasphemy held up in Pilate's eyes. But even whilst trying to set Jesus free, this hasn't stopped Pilate from people-pleasing. He allows the atrocities of the slapping, the flogging, the spitting, the mocking of this innocent man. Just the Roman way. Pure acts of cruelty to publicly shame and display their power and authority over the people. Now, I think Pilate is hoping that this will satisfy the Jews, but no. Verse 12. From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting. And it's at this point that we must focus on the Jewish leaders. I think we sense they're a bit worried. Their evil plan to get rid of Jesus might not work. So they then pull out what they believe is the trump card, and they introduce a new and sensitive issue. If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. There is now a shift in tension. Got him. You can sense the Jews' glee, their smiles, looking at each other, whispering, well, what's he going to say to that? They know these words will truly expose the full extent of Pilate's weakness and back him into a corner. Even though Pilate had asked himself the question earlier, is this man a king? Is he the Son of God? Still, his true weakness is shown in his fear of a wannabe king, thousands of miles away, the emperor in Rome, rather than fear the eternal king of creation. Not only does he fear losing his own power in the region, but ultimately his life at the hands of a paranoid ruler in Rome if he hears that another man wants the crown. And confronted with such pressure, verse 13, Pilate caves, and judgment must be declared. As Jesus is brought out to face the crowds, and he sat on the judge's seat. What irony. Here is the personal representative of Rome offering his judicial decision on the promised Messiah, the one to whom the Father himself has entrusted all judgment to, will now be judged to be the Passover lamb. As we read on, it seems Pilate gives yet another chance, this time to the whole gathered assembly of Jews. Here is your king. Response? Take him away. Crucify him. Pilate is no fool. He cannot escape the political trap now. He knows the allegiance of the Jewish authorities to Caesar is just political hypocrisy to ensure that he will condemn Jesus to the cross. But Pilate also, he can't escape from his own sin to mock and shame these Jews and get his own revenge, as by bringing Jesus out for all to see, what he's really saying is, this weak, beaten, bloodied, helpless prisoner, well, he's the only king that you lot are ever going to have. So, shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. Please note the importance that John records. The answer comes directly from the chief priests. Again, the irony is staggering. Because it is they, the authorities, who accused Jesus of blasphemy. The religious leaders of the day, the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. These men were chosen to represent Israel and lead the people in worship of God. These men, all dressed up in the finest robes, all looking the part, given the responsibility to teach the truth of the scriptures, that the only true king of Israel is God himself. Well, it is they who are the blasphemers, by insisting they have no king but Caesar. Not only are they rejecting Jesus' messianic claims, they are rejecting Israel's messianic hope, and they are finally disowning the kingship of the Lord himself. The final betrayal. Now I imagine, having now considered Pilate's weaknesses and the ultimate betrayal of Jesus by his own people, it leaves us with a mix of emotions. Grief, shock, sorrow, and sadness at these horrific events. But today, we are all being asked the same question that we started with. Where is your allegiance? And the events of that first Easter, they challenge and test everyone's heart. Because they remind us that the universal response of humanity to God is that of the Jewish leaders. Take him away, crucify him. This last betrayal reveals the Jews' slavery to the ultimate sin that we are all guilty of. They don't want God as their king because they want the crown themselves. And it's the same for us. Our natural state is to reject the monarchy of God. Yeah, we like to assume that we would have been very different that day. But the truth is, our moral choices day by day actually reveal our own allegiance to self by our denial, betrayal, lies, and weaknesses. We may look the part, we may even say all the right things, but when it comes to the crunch, when we are confronted by the weak, beaten, bloodied King Jesus, in our hearts, do we too have no king but Caesar? Do we display the same weakness as Pilate? When confronted with the pressure of the world and its evil rejection of its creator and king, are we willing to follow the crucified king who gave himself in the place of sinners? Or do we betray him? Or do we cave in to the sinful nature and put the crown on our own heads, regardless of the consequence? Like I said earlier, our allegiance is being challenged. Maybe you're hearing this for the first time and coming to the realization that this is you. Or you are a Christian but recognize your own failing and weaknesses in your own allegiance to Christ day by day. I think either way, the natural feeling for all of us might be guilt, remorse, maybe even fear. Well, today, and because of what happened on Good Friday, those feelings can be turned to praise, joy, and hope when we look to the cross. Jesus didn't call on legions of angels to save him. He didn't call on his angels to destroy those that reject him. No. Our Saviour continued resolutely to his destiny to fulfill his Father's will and to complete his mission to save sinners. And to all those that bow their knee and take off their crown at the foot of the cross, you will find forgiveness and eternal salvation. And yes, that includes those who have disowned his kingship. And even those who have at times weakly denied him. We only need to look at the Apostle Peter to see Christ's forgiveness in action. Even in our shame, Jesus stands with us. Our suffering servant king, he is not ashamed of those who love him. His life, his words, his actions, they prove his allegiance to those that have faith in him. Amazing love, amazing mercy. What a king we have. Let's take a moment to quietly reflect on what we've heard.